If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You're listening to the Electric Drum on 94.3 WYBC, The Rhythm of the City. I'm Jose Candelario. And today I am joined by Solomon May, another Great 8 Hall of Change inductee, but also a boxing community guy, I guess. Legend in the community now, because all the kids come to him for expertise and learning how to get off the streets and stay busy, more importantly. So let's talk about where you're from. Where you from?
Well, I was born in North Carolina, but I've been up here since I was like 18 months old. So I've been here in New Haven resident for, I'm 50 years old now, so I've been here since then. You know what I mean? So I grew up in the Ville area, from where I can remember. Grew up in the Ville area. Then when I turned like about 10 or 11, moved to the Hill over on Hollock Avenue. That's when the Boys Club was there, across from the Boys Club. Long Wharf, the park across from Long Wharf. So, you know, I grew up over there.
City Point.
Yeah, yep, right over there. And it was so fun over there. Shout out to HSP, Hollock Ave. That's the street we grew up on. A whole bunch of my friends that I grew up with over here, especially in the Boys Club days, man. It was an awesome time, man. When we had a structure place that we can go to after school, the Boys Club was it. You know what I mean? But as I got older, you know, I always was an athlete. Always wanted to, you know, play football, play, you know, soccer, baseball, whatever sport it was. I was always that kid. But, you know, things happen with, you know, living at home, me and my mom. Eventually, you know, I was, you know, kicked out when I was 13 years old. So at 13 years old, I was just in the street. I was just in the street doing anything. Like, I was like a little puppy that wasn't house trained. You know, I mean, just running around. So eventually I started getting in a lot of trouble, being homeless, not having nowhere to go, just start selling drugs. And then, you know, I started doing my first bid. I was about, what, like 15, 16 years old, went to NYI, did a bend there. So from 1991 to 2003, I was always on some type of probation or incarceration under that type of structure. But, you know, I end up doing my 2007-08. You know, I end up getting sentenced to a 20-year bid, 20 years suspended after 10 years with 5 years probation. But it was a 50% crime, so I only had to do 50% of the 10. Saying only is crazy. But 10%, I end up doing 6. But then I got out in 2013-14. And I wanted to resume my boxing career because I skipped over. But as I was a kid, no matter what happened, even I was kicked out, even though I was in the street, boxing was always there. Always had to go to the gym. And I mentioned the Boys Club. The Boys Club didn't necessarily have a boxing program, but they had like a closet, had a bunch of gloves, a bunch of bags and stuff. So we used to just go in there and beat up each other with the gloves, beat up on each other. So, you know, I found a liking to it and I started taking it serious. Not necessarily taking it serious, but found somebody to teach me more about what I needed to learn. And what I really learned was the guy when I was in prison. First, when I was really in prison, it was the old school guy that taught me more about the boxing thing. But yeah, so after I did that that 10 years, I ended up doing 6 off of the 10. I came home in 2014. And then I wanted to resume my boxing career. I won 3 amateur golden gloves when I was a kid. The last amateur golden glove that I was in was in 2002, I want to say, 2001 to 2002. But then after that, everything went downhill in terms of being homeless, being in jail, running the streets, selling drugs, doing the things that I had to do that I thought I had to do to survive. But when I came home in 2013, I was like, all right, let me take boxing. See, at this time, I'm 38 years old. 38 years old. And I just started going to the gym. I started training. I eventually turned pro. Had about, you know, 15, 16 fights. And I mean, I wasn't the best fighter because of the age and I didn't have the proper training, but I just wanted to have that experience. I didn't want to be the old guy to be like, I used to be a fighter. And they'd be like, how many fights you have? And I'd be like, I don't got none. I could say, listen, I went down that aisle. I got in the ring. I won some fights. I knocked some people out. I got knocked out. You know what I'm saying? So it was an experience that I wanted to live. And, you know, it all comes from the way that I grew up, just all the hardships that I went through. You know, can you imagine just being 13 years old and you don't got the answer to nothing? So everything that I went through, it was a first time I had to go through it. I didn't even know most of the times when I was doing something to get in trouble. Just got in trouble. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know I was in trouble until I got in trouble. So it was kind of hard.
You said early on, at least somebody was there to inspire you and at least try to tell you the right things. Who were those people that you remember try to tell you?
Man, listen, I mean, like at the Boys Club, I had Rick. I had a coach that was there. But in terms of, you know, like somebody that I respected enough to listen to and because in my mind at that age and it carried on until I got older, like I don't want to hear you pointing your finger at me. I don't want to hear you talking down to me. Well, you shouldn't be out here. You shouldn't be doing that. Okay, I shouldn't be, but you gonna help me? Are you gonna help me? If you tell me you got somewhere for me to live, you get a way where I can earn some money, some way, then I'm all for it. But don't just point at my finger, oh, you shouldn't be out here doing this. You shouldn't be. And when you get finished talking to me, guess what you're going to go do? You're going to go home. You're going to have supper. You're going to be with your wife. You're going to be with your kids. And you're going to feel good just telling me that I shouldn't be out here. So, you know, extend a hand to help me. I'm 13, 14, 15 years old. Like, give me a hand. But, you know, I really didn't have those influences, man. My influences was more, I always say the streets was my dad. And the prison system was my mom. You know what I mean? Like everything that I learned, everything that I need to learn about respect, about hygiene, about, you know, watching people, learning personalities, I learned in prison. I learned how to write. I learned how to read. I learned, you know, like I said, respect. I got my GED in prison. Every good moment that I had in my life probably came from being in the system. Being in the system.
Mm-hmm.
So those were the things that taught me, like being in the street and being in prison was my influences.
Mm.
It taught me life lessons that I needed to learn being home.
Mm. So the streets were your dad.
Yeah.
What was the allure of the streets? I mean, you said that it at that time it's something that you thought you needed to do.
I mean, so it's a kid inside me, Solomon, that I had that in my mind he had to go because he wouldn't survive the things that I had to survive. I had to turn into somebody else to survive the things that I survived. Like I think any 13-year-old went through what I went through. It's criminal. No kid should have to go through the things that I went through. So. And now that I'm 50 years old, I look back at those moments and those instances, and I say, you know, was they really bad decisions? Because I'm still here now. You know what I mean, was they really mistakes? You know what I'm saying? Like I know guys that did the same things that I did. They're not here, or they're doing 100 years. You understand what I'm saying? So I'm not the like where I'm coming from and what I went through. I know 100 other boys that was going through the same thing. We just came out of it in different ways. Everybody, it affected everybody different. Now, I mean, even my sister, she went through the same things I went through and affected her different than it affected me. But at the end of the day, it was still traumatic, something that I had to deal with. But the blessing in all of that is being able to, you know, live long enough to see why you went through those things. You know what I mean? I lived long enough to understand, like even now I have moments that I'll be like, go through that. That's why I had to do that, because of this right here. And all is, and everything stems from, you know, being around the kids that I'm around now. Because I was a horrible dad. I wasn't there. You know what I mean? I was either locked up or I was in the street. So I got three kids. I got my son is a state trooper in Georgia. My daughter is a plumber. Love her to death. My other daughter, she just went to college. She went to Pittsburgh. She went to Pittsburgh. So, you know, I had three kids. But, you know, the relationship, it's like I wasn't dad. You know what I mean? I was... It's different from, like, for the 30 years I was in and out of jail, so in and out of their lives. So I think that's worse than just not being there. You know what I mean? Because I'm there sometimes, then I'm not there. You go 2 or 3 years without seeing me, then you go a year without seeing me, then you go 6 years without seeing me. So I think that had a traumatic effect on them, also me not just being there. So,
you're listening to the Electric Drum on 94.3 WYBC, the Rhythm of the City. I'm Jose Canelaria, and we're listening to the words of Solomon May. Now, you're talking about the in and out and just the inconsistency that you experienced in your life, you passed it on. Mm-hmm. How did that fix itself in jail where you have some kind of consistency, and how did that change you?
Well, the structure. You know what I'm saying? I need a structure. Like, I mean, it was at some point where, like I said, from 91 to 2003, I was always locked up or I was on some type of supervision. And those structures is what gave me home training. You know what I mean? Like, it's crazy to say, but, like, even, like, in prison, you go to medical when you need to. Like, I've never been to a doctor's appointment until I went to a facility. You know what I mean? I learning hygiene, like how to really effectively clean yourself. You know, you learn those things. I learned those things in prison. You know what I mean? You know, learning how to read, learning how to just sit down and understand who I am, what this person is, what I need to do to survive. You know what I mean? Like you, when you at that, and then you run into those issues. Like one quick story. It was I was in prison. I was like 19 years old, and it was a guy. He always had a spot outside in the rec yard, doing his workouts, whatever. So one day he didn't come outside, so I made it my business. I'm gonna go in his spot. That's a nice spot he was at. So I'm over there working out in his spot. So he comes outside. So you know, and he tell him this is my spot. Boom, boom. I'm like, all right, it's about to wreck over now. I'm good. I ain't going nowhere. So make a long story short, me and the dude fought, but it wasn't even a fight. Like you can physically tell that he wasn't trying to hurt me. He just was letting me know. Like it was like a father whooping you. Like I could, like even as we going, I can see that he really not trying to hurt me. Like, cause he could have. So, but it was just a learning experience. It was something that I learned because I was a big disrespectful kid. And after that, it was the thing that I said to him that I never said again. Ever in my life because of how he handled it. You know what I mean? He could have did something. But again, like I said, the structure of jail, being in those settings, you know, you have to use the word submit to some type of authority. The COs are your family. The warden is your uncle. You know what I'm saying? That's how I looked at it. That's how much I was inside that environment where I had to conform to some type of structure, and that carries on to now. I believe that even what I do now with my boxing gym and my nonprofit organization, it's all about structure. It's all about structure, discipline, and focus. And you know, in some type of way, I got all of those things from being in the street and being in the Department of Corrections.
It seems like an individual that takes a negative turn into a positive. Absolutely. How important is that to have a mindset, especially in this day and age, and what you see in the kids you work with?
And nothing ever for me has gone right. You know what I'm saying? So in terms of, you know, just saying you have to be positive, because being positive, I learned that going through the fire is going to bring you out even better. You know what I mean? Like now I look for the fire. I look for bad weather. I look for problem. And that's kind of one of my one of my things, man. Well, I don't mind being in the fire. I don't mind things not going right. I don't mind. I can handle myself well in those type of situations. So, you know, I always tell my guys, the guys that I train, you know what I mean? Like, we one of the top amateur programs in the nation. You know what I mean? I got the number one guy in the nation in his weight class. I got the number two guy in the nation in his weight class. And his brother is number three. You know what I mean? So I got nationally ranked guys, contending guys. So I always try to instill in them, man, like, nobody cares if you're tired. Nobody cares if your shoulder hurt. Nobody cares if your hand hurt a little bit. Nobody cares if you're bleeding. Nobody cares. So if you care, then you ain't gonna do nothing. You can't do nothing if you care about those things in that moment. Like after that moment is over, you could go lick your wounds. You could be like, yeah, that was crazy, but I went through it. You know what I mean? Like it you have to place yourself in situations. Recently, I was in a federal trial. I was suing the New Haven police and the city of New Haven. And I went all the way to a federal trial. I was actually in there arguing with the judge, arguing with the lawyers, talking to a jury. You know how terrified I was? I was terrified, but I had to do it. Like, I ain't have no lawyers, so I had to do it myself. I ended up losing, but I only lost because I didn't know what I was doing. But you know what I'm saying? You have to put yourself in, and I tell parents all the time, you have to put your kids in a structured environment. You can't let them just run around and do whatever they want. Again, I tell my guys also, like, think of a superhero that you like. Think of a superhero that you like. To me, I'm the Incredible Hulk. I know how to be Bruce Banner, but I know how to be that green guy, definitely, if I need to be. So pick a character, man. Pick somebody, because when you in the gym, I want you to be that superhero. I want you to say, I don't care about nothing. I don't care about school. I don't care about home. I don't care about anything. This is what I'm focused on. But you saw what happened with Bruce Banner when he turned to the Hulk. After he come down from the Hulk, he right back to Bruce Banner. He's intelligent. He know how to talk to people. He know how to behave. He know how to protect himself. He know how to be aware. So when you in the gym, just be somebody else. I'm going to control the environment. I'm the big dog inside the gym. I'm going to control all my dogs inside the gym. Be who you want, and I can see who you are. Don't be faking here.
You say that someone picked you up and gave you some boxing skills while you were.
Yeah, that's another story, man. I was maybe like 16. This is one of my first bids after NY, one of my adult bids, going at 16 years old. So I was in the gym, and it was a guy, Muslim guy, dreads. And it was a boxing bag. It was a punching bag. They had equipment there. That's when they had a boxing stuff inside prisons. So he used to come to the gym every day. Nobody talked to him. He didn't talk to nobody. He was just like this solid guy with dreads. And I used to see him every day in the gym hitting the bag, shadow boxing. He used to jog. So maybe like a good 3 or 4 months, I just watched him. I didn't even say nothing to him because nobody said nothing to him. And I'm a young boy, so you know I don't want to talk to him. So one day I went down there and I was watching him and I was like saying to myself, I'm going to say something to him. I'm going to say something to him. So I walked up to him while he was, after he was hitting the bag, he took a little break and I went up to him. I said, yo, could you show me how to do what you're doing? And he totally ignored me. He didn't say nothing to me. He didn't look at me. He didn't do nothing. And I just walked away. Walked away and sat there. And the next day, he came in, I came in, and he said, hey, yo, come here. And I went over there to him, and then he just started. Man, it was like crazy. Like, he just started. You say you want to learn, so if you want to learn, make sure you be here every day at this time. Make sure you do things the way that I ask you to do it. And make sure, he said, and this is another thing that I never forget that he said to me. He said to me, he said, yeah, excuse me about yesterday. I know it seemed like I ignored you. But I was in the zone. He said, I was in the zone. When I'm in the zone, I don't hear nobody talking to me. I don't hear nobody saying nothing to me. I don't hear none of that. And that just stuck with me. That stuck with me. Like, even now to this day, when I'm zoned out, I'm pissed if you get me out that zone. I am pissed. So he taught me just in that one instance, you got to learn how to be focused, man. If you want to do this, you got to be focused. And so he taught me how to run. He taught me how to jog. He taught me how to breathe. He taught me proper footwork. He taught me how to throw my jab straight. He taught me the fundamentals that I need to know. So when I got out of there, I went to the gym. I already knew some things where my coach taught me. But he was actually my original coach. He only, to this day, he don't even know how much he did for me. He don't even know. He don't even know.
It's those moments, right? Those that you don't know that you're helping somebody for the rest of their lives by giving them a little bit of time.
Yep.
You're listening to the Electric Drum on 94.3 WYBC, the rhythm of the city. I'm Jose Candelario. We're speaking with Solomon May, local boxing legend, already got these kids out there working with children now. You're trying to instill some of these values and ethics that you picked up over life so they don't have to go through the hardships themselves. How hard is it to get through to them, and what are the distractions you're facing?
You know what? As far as the kids, it's actually not hard, man, because the kids want that. They want somebody that they can come to that's not going to judge them. It's not going to judge them. So I always back up to how I felt when I was a kid. Like I told you, people just want to come up to you and point you in the finger and what you shouldn't be doing and how you shouldn't be doing this and what you should be doing now. And at the end of the day, I don't even know what you're talking about because I don't even know what I'm doing. You know what I mean? So I want to be that person that I needed. You know what I mean? I think about what I needed at that age. Every kid that come in the gym, 13-year-old, I see a 13-year-old solo, 16-year-old solo, 9-year-old solo. Every kid that come in, I either see me or my sister. Whether it's a female, I see my sister. If it's a boy, I see me. And I try to be that person that I needed. I needed people to be patient with me. I'm patient. My patience is crazy when it comes to kids. Like adults, my patience is like this. I have no patience whatsoever for adults. But with kids, like I said, I see myself and I see my sister and I know what I needed. I needed people to answer questions for me. I needed people to know what to say to me. I needed people to give me some space. I needed so many different things, and I want to be that go-to guy. But what's the word I'm looking for? I just want to be a presence. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I want the kids to understand that, yo, you got somebody that's going to listen to you. You got somebody that's not going to nag you. You got somebody that's going to be there. Whether you did something wrong or you did something right, I'm going to let you know that I'm always going to be there. Because the worst thing that I went through, I'm talking about the worst thing. By all the things that I've ever went through, the worst thing was, going through things without nobody being there for you. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, say being in prison. Like, it was times I went to jail. Nobody didn't even know I was in jail. You know what I'm saying? Nobody didn't even know. I didn't have nobody to call. I didn't have nobody to write. And then you go through things and like, who am I call? I don't got nobody to call. Like I have to handle this myself. This is what I have to do myself, and I have to go through it, and I have to deal with it. I have to endure with it. I have to learn through it. I have to understand why I'm going through it. And those things right there, it just built who I am today. You know what I mean?
You mentioned hygiene. I mean, the number one, you know, but for bullying, especially in schools, is hygiene. I mean, for young, it's amazing how people don't know how to take care of themselves. What part of your mission consists of that now?
Well, you know, it's crazy because I deal with kids from 6 years old. I got a group of kids from 6 years old to 12. And those are like the group of kids that need the training. Like you talked about your son 6 years old. I think 6 years old, 5, 6 years old is that age where you got to not cater to him. You have to build situations for them to be in where they have to grind themselves out of it. Like you got to be parent. You got to be dad. You got to be mom. You have to take care of the kid. But you also got a structure, a situation where he have to get himself out of that situation. Like if you keep doing everything for him, like even now I struggle now, even with my athletes, my guys are the national champs, man. They good kids, but you know, I always say to the parents, I'm like, you're too good of a parent. Like you're too good of a parent, man. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like it's certain things, and that's just a joke. You never could be too good of a parent, but it's just a joke where, you know, you could be so good of a parent till you make your kid privileged. Kid be privileged, man. He don't like I'm gonna give you an example. Like if you get a rich guy and he put him in a boxing match and he get in there with a tough boxer, like it's eighth round and it's championship rounds now. And that guy that don't got nothing is going to go harder than the guy. The guy that got a lot of money or something to look forward to, he going to go, what am I? I don't got to go through this shit. But the guy that don't got nothing, he trained for this moment. And he going to push those extra two rounds, he going to push through it. And that's just like comparison to the kid. A kid that compete in a sport, whatever sport, especially boxing. If he got that mindset that somebody's going to bail him out all the time, I'm not going to get 100% of him. And that's why so many parents are, I argue, now I want to use the word argue, but I disagree with so many parents because, like I said, I got three kids, but I was a scumbag. I was never around. You know what I mean? I wasn't even around for the training process of my kids. So I don't consider myself a parent. I consider myself a coach, and I look at it from a coach's view, and I understand the parent part also. I understand it, but you have to let him fly. You have to kick him off that tree sometimes and let him break his, chip his beak. Let him feel something, and he have to get through it. And that's what boxing is, man. Like, you know, you don't win national championships by thinking somebody care about how you feel. I tell my guys all day, nobody cares. The referee don't care. The judge don't care. The crowd don't care. Nobody other than your mother probably care about what's going on with you in that ring. So if you care, you're going to be in trouble.
How do you get these kids to accept the challenge? Because when people are challenged nowadays, they quit. How do you get that mindset to accept and look forward and look like you do? You say you look out for the challenge.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, like I said, man, like my gym is built around structure and discipline. Like when your mother, your father come in and register you, I got a whole rehearsed story that I'm going to tell you. First of all, I'm going to go, your kid gonna come here and go home some days. He gonna say, coach is cool. Some days when you go, he go home, he gonna be talking so much junk about me. And the thing that I need you to do is just make sure he consistent. Because if he could go to you and say, he don't want to go to the gym today because coach got on my nerve or I don't like what's going on there, and you feed into that, you're gonna kill everything. You're gonna kill the whole process because now he understands that he don't got to come now. Like when you wake up in the morning, I want all my kids that come to my gym, when you wake up in the morning, you know you got to deal with coach today. Rather, you got to see coach today. You know what I mean? And I always say, I got a couple of fathers that come to the gym. I tell them, you know, like nobody can't tell you that you're not a good dad, because when your kid wake up, they're going to know, they know that it's guaranteed they're going to see you. You know what I mean? Like rather, whatever somebody say to you, you know for a fact, your kid know when he wakes up in the morning, he's going to see dad. There's never going to be a day where I'm not going to see my dad. That makes you a good dad, period. You know what I mean? No matter what. So, you know, just being around, I just want to be a presence for my students, for anybody that's up under my umbrella. I want to be a presence. I want you at school, something going on, be like, all right, coach told me about this. You know what I mean? Something happened where you got to make a decision, you got an option, because I know I talked to you about it. I know I told you about it. You know how I move. You don't see me do nothing but come to this gym, take you to tournaments, take you to doctor's appointments, go to your school. You see me with my wife. You see how I treat my wife. Like when you come around me, you're going to see a strong, positive black man that already went through the crap. And whatever I tell you, I want you to understand that it's coming from here.
You're listening to the Electric Drummer 94.3 WYBC, the rhythm of the city. I am Jose Canelario. This is Solomon May. Can you testify, how good does it feel to live a boring life?
Oh, it's absolutely amazing. It's amazing. You don't have to worry about like, I call myself a Grinch, and I'm proud of it. Like, I live under my rock. If I'm supposed to know something, God will let me know I'm supposed to know it. But right now, he put me on this trail right here, and that's all I want. That's all I want. Whatever comes in that trail, whatever obstacle, whatever good thing happened, it was supposed to happen because I was in my lane. I was in the lane that he put me in. So I'm cool with being bored. I have fun. I have fun, whether I was going to jail, whether I was on the street, whether I was at the club, whether I was on a trip. I did all that already. Like Malcolm X said one time, he said he felt like he died 20 years ago. And that's how I feel. I feel like I died 20 years ago. I blew it. I blew my opportunities. You know what I mean? Now it's time for me to live for God. Like what God tell me to do, what he put in my path to do, I already know he already put me through it already.
Let's talk a little bit about the Great Eight Hall of Change being inducted into it this past year. How did that feel to be, you know, and who nominated you?
Sergeant Amir Williams. Oh my God, this guy, man, is amazing. And shout out to him, man. Amir, he got me. He not only did he nominate me for the Great Eight, he got me a pardon. All this stuff that I told you that I did is wiped out.
You got a full pardon.
I got a full pardon, absolute pardon.
Wow.
Messing with Amir. So shout out to Amir. Anybody that need their pardon done, give him a call. He the man. He is the man. Yeah, so the Great Eight experience, man, that was something I didn't expect. Because he nominated me. I was like, okay, he nominated me. It is what it is. But when I got the call, I was still like, okay, I'm going to go. My wife was making more of a big deal out of it than me. Like, you got to wear this. You got to get dressed up. I'm like, look, I was ready to wear my hoodie. As long as I got my Get 'Em Boy logo on, I'm straight. You know what I mean? So she was like, you got to wear a tuxedo, boom, boom. So I went. And I actually really didn't feel it until I got on the stage. And they told me that because I didn't realize I had to speak. I thought I was going to grab the award, thank you, and be out. But they called a lady first, and when she got up there, she started talking. That's when I started feeling. I was like, oh, they want me to talk. But, you know, I went up there, man, and they gave me the award. And, you know, I just thanked everybody that was, and that's when it hit me. It hit me like, oh, shoot. Like, these people are actually acknowledging what I'm doing, the things that I put, that I set forth, that God allowed me to set forth and do, I'm being acknowledged for it right now. And that moment was absolutely incredible. Like, I got to, you know, acknowledge my wife. Without her, you know, a lot of things wouldn't be getting done if it wasn't for her. So shout out to her.
Can we get a name?
Oh, Carla. Carla May. I'm sorry. My wife, Carla May. We've been married for 7 years. She is my structure. Mm. She my structure. Without her, like, it's a lot of things that I don't do because I think about her. I think about what she would say. Like, if I do this, she's going to be tight. So it's a lot of things. So she's definitely my structure, yo. So shout out to Carla. Love you, girl. But yeah, man, I think just structure in itself, man. Just my wife. Knowing that the kids depend on me to be there. They wake up and they, but it's exactly what I want. I want them to know that every time when they wake up in the morning, they know they're going to see me. Like I just now said with Dad.
We're in our last few minutes here. There's something to be said about the strength of just being there for these kids and them knowing that there's somebody there that cares about mm-hmm. what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. Because like I said, that's what I needed. I wanted, when I was their age, when I was a kid, I wanted somebody to know what to do when I didn't know what to do. Again, the worst thing about going through something is going through it alone. Like when you got nobody, like, again, you always use jail as a point. Like, you know, you see the phone sitting there, you see everybody on the phones, you ain't getting no phone.
But you're there for these kids.
Exactly.
We're in our last few minutes. What is the message you want to send out to the community? This is time to plug your Get 'Em Boxing. Go ahead.
All right. So, you know, I got a youth boxing program, Get 'Em Boy Boxing, located at 746 Orchard Street, New Haven, Connecticut. It's a program. It's a structured program. It's definitely a real boxing program. It's not like your typical after school program where you come drop your kid off and you just wait for them like they're in the bullpen, wait for your parents to come get you. When your kid come near, whether he want to compete or not, we're going to be training to compete. It's gonna, you know, your kid definitely is going to learn structure, definitely going to learn discipline. And, you know, just the little things like I learned when I was a kid. I learned, you know, I'm teaching kids how to tie their shoes, teaching kids not to interrupt while other people talking, teaching kids how to, you know, pull your pants up, use the bathroom properly, things that I didn't even think that I had to do. But even with that program, and then I got a nonprofit program organization that my wife runs, Carla, that she runs. It's called the Bridge Corp. The Bridge Corp is a nonprofit where we cater to single moms in the community. You know, single moms. I know when I was growing up, like I said, I didn't even remember going to medical appointments until I got to like a juvenile facility where I got eye exams. So a lot of parents don't have time to do that because they got to work. So our organization will step in. Parents give us permission, bring it to a doctor appointment. We'll bring it to a doctor appointment. Some parents even gave me permission to sit in therapy sessions. I go to the school. I do pop-ups at the school. You know what I mean? Like, so I started doing pop-ups first when I first opened up my nonprofit and I had the boxing program. I was teaching kids how to box. Now they're going to school, want to fight everybody. So I felt like since I taught them how to be physical, now I have to control it. Now I have to make sure I show up at school, make sure they don't know when I'm coming up. I'm just popping up. So now that automatically changed their grade. They changed their behaviors. They stopped getting suspended because they don't know when I'm going to come. And they know they got to deal with me later on. But, you know, learning that structure through boxing, through training, through having a man right there for you is a good thing.
What's the number?
The number is 203-415-6812. You can follow us on Facebook. Get 'Em Boy Boxing 23. You can follow us. We got a Facebook business page, Get 'Em Boy. Check us out, man.
Very good. Very good. This has been Solomon May, the kind words of someone out there that's looking out for these kids in the neighborhood. And I appreciate that. This has been the Electric Drum on 94.3 WYBC, the rhythm of the city. I'm Jose Candelario. And like always, thank you for listening.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.